It is one of the unforgotten or often forgotten celebrations of the church year, the ascension of our Lord, and we are celebrating that today around the closest Sunday to that. Because the idea of when we talk about Jesus coming again, it's because he returned to be at home with the Father. And so this is often skipped, but I like to do it on Sundays. And so that's why we are celebrating the Ascension Sunday here today. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may we, as we hear the story of Jesus' ascension, may we be reminded, Lord God, that as Jesus left, he empowers us to be his hands and his feet in this world. He calls us to be about his work. We are the ones who have been given this challenge and call. And may we embrace that fully and completely and with courage and with hope and with grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you guys already know, this weekend is a weekend of graduations for so many in our United States. And this time every year, I hearken back to my graduation from Lenoir Ryan College back in 1993. That was an exciting time for me, and it left me with one of the most lasting memories, if not poignant memories, of my life. You see, I had five very close friends in college. James, who was my roommate for all 4 years, Tom and Chris, and Jay and Jeff. We were all very close. We were fraternity brothers. We lived near each other throughout college. We went on spring break together. We played on the same intramural teams. We basically lived life together for 4 years. We even dated some of the same girls, and even one of them married my college girlfriend. And we are still like brothers to this day. Well, after commencement, as you know, we all gathered with our families and our friends, and we began to take a ton of pictures, and we did so for about 45 minutes. As things began to wind down, everyone started making their way to their post-graduation gatherings with their different families. And so we all hugged it out one more time, and we all left. And as my best friends began walking their own separate way, James going one way with his family, Jay, Jeff, Tom, Chris, all of them, I stood there and watched them leave. And I knew it wasn't goodbye. We'd be ended up being in each other's weddings. We've spent time with each other. We vacationed together as adults. But it dawned on me that at that point on, from that point on, for the rest of our lives, it would never be the same again. And I was filled with a sense of uncertainty, of not necessarily sadness, but a dawning recognition that I was getting ready to take the first steps into a whole new world. Now imagine that the account we just read today, we heard Rachel read for us, about the ascension of Jesus, I would imagine on a whole different level, on a whole different scale, that that was a similar experience for the disciples. You see, they had had this amazing relationship with Jesus, their friend, their rabbi, their Lord. They had cried and hid in fear when he was dying on the cross. And then they were amazed and overjoyed at his resurrection. And then they continued to learn from him until he told them that he was leaving. And as he ascended, they remained staring at the sky, wondering what else was to come. In fact, perhaps they were the actual epitome of the word, you're keeping your heads in the clouds. And in the midst of that uncertainty, in the midst of that new world that they were now living in, something happens that I believe is just as meaningful for them as it is for us, or just as meaningful for us as it was for them at that time. Two men, supposedly angels perhaps, they say, why do you stand looking up to heaven? Why are you continuing to live in the past. As anyone who has had to say a difficult goodbye knows, those moments are not easy. They're full of emotion. And perhaps the only thing that can make those moments move along is something so matter of fact. Why do you stand looking up toward heaven? Jesus is gone, but he'll be back. It was as if the angels needed to shock the disciples back into a new reality. As I stood there at my graduation, watching my friends all walk away, perhaps in maybe the way mothers know best, my mom was able to understand perhaps what was going on, and she came up to me and she said, "David, we have to go too, or we'll be late for our reservations." Happy Mother's Day, Mom. So we left, and those were the first steps into a new and changed world. The disciples, they did the same. They took their first steps toward a new and changed world. The disciples then, they began a ministry in the name of their Lord Jesus. As we will celebrate next week, the gift of the Holy Spirit came to give them power, just as Jesus said it would, and they then changed the world. And this is the thing about goodbyes. Sometimes they're necessary for something greater to occur. When I was in college and hanging out with my friends, I thought that was the height of life. I thought it would never get any better than that. But then I went to seminary, and I met amazing friends there who I added now to my college ones. I eventually met a beautiful woman who would become my wife and who would become the mother of my adorable, loving, if not maddening, children. We lived in a big city of Cincinnati, and now we live here in the beauty of the Shenandoah Valley, and I get to serve and minister with you beautiful people. My friends have all married well above themselves, just like I did. They all have children, meaningful jobs, and lives that not without their struggle have brought them wonderful joy. The goodbye that the ascension portrays, I believe, is the exact same thing. Indeed, one of the most interesting and provocative things that Jesus ever says in Scripture are the words that he shares in John chapter 14. He says, "Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these." Jesus ascends to the Father because this is how greater things will be done in the world that God loves. Now that may seem a bit odd, yet it makes perfect sense when we remember the Jesus who ascended to the Father. It is the resurrected Jesus. It is the Jesus with wounds and scars and the knowledge of what creation can be at both its best and its worst. It is the Jesus who ascends with a first-hand experience of our human condition, who sits at the right hand of the Father. And you know what this means? Brothers and sisters, what this means is that our God knows, truly and completely knows what we go through, what we feel, and how painful life can be. God knows this because Jesus, God with us, has ascended. And what does Jesus do next? Well, he does what he says he will do. "I will ask the Father, and he will give you an advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming and to you. And when the advocate comes, whom I will send to you for my Father, the Spirit of truth who comes will testify on my behalf." You see, Jesus, the advocate of our human condition, goes to the Father. And then the Spirit of Jesus comes back, our advocate for living our life now. The God who will guide us, lead us, challenge us, and comfort us with the presence of Christ forever. This is why at his ascension, as accounted in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, I am with you always until the end of the age. Because while the resurrected Jesus has ascended, the Spirit of Jesus never leaves. And it's this Spirit of Jesus that allows us, the people of Jesus, to do greater works than these, to serve others in our community and around the world, to care for the hungry, as we will be doing with Bright Futures, to comfort those among us and those in our sphere of influence who are in pain, to heal bodies and relationships, to speak truth and fight for justice, and to worship with joy and gladness at the glorious news that God has come near and remains near still. A mentor of mine, Dr. Craig Satterley, says that Jesus ascended because he was only one man, albeit the Son of God, but still one man. And he ascends because the Spirit of Jesus, which infuses the billions who have followed Jesus ever since, would do the work of Jesus as the body of Christ in the world. And so, if we are to live, then as the people of God, into our God-given responsibility as the body of Christ, we cannot simply stand around with our heads in the clouds. Dr. Will Willimon, former dean of the chapel at Duke University, shares about a time that he was driving around the Loop in Chicago and became caught in a massive traffic jam. He later discovered that the people were watching a young man climb the outside wall of the Sears Tower. Their eyes were on the sky and not on the road, and so everything came to a halt. Now, fortunately, no one was injured. But as Willimon writes, some Christians, he says, are like these drivers. They're trying with all their might to keep their eyes on Jesus, but don't notice the people around them. And sometimes people get hurt as a result. The angels reminded the disciples of the danger of being so spiritually minded that they ended up being of no earthly good. Now, don't get me wrong, being spiritually minded is right and good. But there's also truth in what Willimon and the angels said, that we have greater work to do as the body of Christ. We are called to be about the work of Jesus, to teach others about God's love, to care and support one another and the stranger, to find ways to be in community in a meaningful way together, to be agents of healing with one another, to reach out to those on the margins, to worship God and pray, to challenge those who would seek to dominate or oppress others, and to offer in word and deed good news of God's freedom and favor. We've got a lot to do. We've got a lot to be. Our work, indeed, Jesus' work through us and in us, is on the ground, with an eye toward heaven, but not the other way around. It's why Jesus and the disciples descended the Mount of Transfiguration. It's why Jesus attended to the needy and the infirm and the lame and the struggling and the outcast. It's why Jesus ate with his disciples and others, especially those on the margins. It's why Jesus ascended the cross. It's why Jesus called Mary by name at the empty tomb. It's why Jesus came through the locked door to see his scared and scarred and fear-filled disciples. And it's why Jesus ultimately ascends back to the Father, so that you and me, us, God's people, on the ground, through the gift of the Spirit, could know and be known by him and do greater works for the world by his grace. And indeed, they will be done. For we know that the Spirit of Jesus is with us now and forever. In his name we pray. Amen.